Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadaro.
Oh no. Already?
Burnsy, what's going on?
Already with the pills?
You're down 2-0. You're down, no, it's 2-0.
Really?
You got slaughtered in both games.
If you came to the Burns and Gambo show looking for comfort and care after last night, you ain't getting any. If you're looking for comfort, quarter, and shelter, you will find none here on the Burns and Gambo show. All you're going to hear...
I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
This series is not over. It may look like it's over.
What happened to shaking the pills?
No, I thought it generally sucked.
It's a 7-game series for Got to win four. They protected home court. I mean, it looks like it's doom and gloom, but you know,
it's
win tomorrow.
We got a lot to do. Thanks, Mitch. I appreciate you throwing the Pete Fairbanks and others commentary coming in. Also coming up on today's show, in addition to just kind of reliving the nightmare that was yesterday, a Gambo 5.
Decided to do it.
Wow.
But different, because what I'm basically doing is saying, okay, I should be able to get the pick if the pick is number 4. But what I'm doing here is I'm saying, I'm going to give you a pick if it's in the top 10. I'm going to give you guys if it's in the top 10. They trade out of 4. They trade back into the top 10. I'm going to give you 5 guys. I expect it to be one of those guys.
Okay, wow.
So that way it's not just, oh, you know, anybody can pick 4 guys. Okay, well, what if they're picking 7th, 8th, or 9th? I'll give you the guy I think it'll be.
Okay.
In the spots.
Fantastic. Looking forward. Okay. We'll be beginning to reveal those at, I think, 2:45 this afternoon. But in the meantime, Gambo's just not shaking that pill box to hear how many blood pressure pills he's got in there. He's shaking it for a reason, and we'll obviously tell you what that reason is now here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Phoenix Suns blown out again in Game 2 against the Minnesota Timberwolves last night, losing on the road. And in doing so, they have put themselves in an 0-2 hole as the series moves back to Phoenix for Game 3 coming up on Friday. Gambo?
Just
breathe in through the nose.
I don't have this epic rant here. I don't have an epic. I don't have an epic rant on what happened last night. It was a very similar reaction for me in Game 2 than it was in Game 1. I mean, they got their asses beat. They were blown out again. You know, it doesn't feel like they could beat anybody in the West right now. So I feel the same way. They hung around. They had the 63-60 lead in the third quarter. Booker hit that 3. And then the wheels came off, like, they came off hard.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Like, I'm driving down the freeway, and I'm tire tread is everywhere.
Well, yeah.
I'm swerving in and out to avoid all the tire tread.
Lug nuts flying everywhere and tire
middle
tread.
Middle lane, right lane, left lane. I almost got to pull over because there's so much tire tread. The wheels came off, and they came off hard. Minnesota had a 12-0 run. They go up 72-63. They never looked back. McDaniels had an offensive putback. Royce O'Neal turned it over, led to 2 free throws by Ant. Beal got blocked by Edwards, which forced a shot clock violation. Ant hit 2 free throws off a KD miss. A KD missed again. Ant hit a mid-range shot. Booker turned it over on a pass. Alexander Walker hit a spinning basket. They closed that quarter on an 18-8 run, and you just, like, come on, like, you knew.
No, you could see
it. Like, you knew. That was it. That's it. There's the game.
You could see it. You could see them disconnecting. You could see them disengaging. You could see them coming undone. You could see them flipping on the autopilot switch. And I know that, and I say that because we've seen it time and time and time again this season, mm-hmm. where they lose their will to fight. They lose their will to compete. They are content with, not our night. Oh, well, we'll go get them tomorrow.
It happens.
You could see it happen to this team in that third quarter. And that's what you talk about, similarities from Game 1. In some ways, I thought they fixed what was broken from Game 1, but they did a lot better with some of the things that were broken. That second quarter was good. They were moving the ball around. They kind of looked like themselves. They were rebounding the ball with a much greater level of passion and energy, and they were getting the job done. But much like game one, that was a, they were down four in game one, and then the wheels came off in the third quarter. Up three halfway through the third quarter, and the wheels just came off.
Third quarter woes have been terrible for this team.
Once you saw it, you could just see them kind of checking out and going, okay, not our night. It's done here. And that's the frustrating part.
Not enough fight.
There's like no fight. It's just like this willingness to surrender almost immediately and just give into it and go, okay, not happening tonight. We'll just go get them tomorrow. And how quickly they're able to flip that switch. I know we're going to talk about the fourth quarter in the next segment, but basically over the last half of the third quarter and the first half of the fourth, it was 33-13 in about 10 minutes.
Third quarter was when I was like, okay, this is it. Like, they've been outscored. Now, this was a team that I believe was the best third quarter team in the NBA this season.
I believe they mentioned that during the national broadcast for game
one. I talked to Tim Ring about it last night. I believe they were the best third quarter team in the NBA. Their third quarters in these two games have been atrocious. They've scored 21 and 20. For a team that relies on their offense so much, they've gotten outscored 31-21 and 28-20 in these third quarters. So they are now, this was remarkable too. They're now 0-12 in their last 12 game two road games. The last win was 94 against Houston. But again, if I would have told you, if I would have said Dave Burns going into game two, they are going to shut down Anthony Edwards. He's going to go 3-12 from the field. He's going to have 15 points. And Carl Anthony Towns is only going to get you 12.
Don't even get me started on that.
If I would have told you that.
Anthony Edwards is going to have 15 points on 3-12 shooting. Kat's going to have 12 points, 8 rebounds. Naz Reid is only going to have 5. And Kyle Anderson's going to not play with a right hip pointer. I'm going to say, hey, let's go
ball
back.
Game.
Tied 1-1.
Ball
right?
game.
But Mike Conley, Jaden McDaniels. Folks,
best player on the court last night.
Jaden McDaniels outscored Devin Booker. He outscored Kevin Durant. He outscored Bradley Beal.
Same guy that punched a wall last year and missed the playoffs against the Nuggets.
Jaden McDaniel had a game-high 25 points in last night's game. It's like, what am I
kind of thinking
watching?
They would have beat the Nuggets last year if Jaden McDaniels didn't punch the... Oh, I was just saying that to get Mitch.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
Who said that? Who was that who made that statement?
That was Anthony Edwards back on February 18th.
That's a good cut.
That circulated a lot yesterday.
That's a good cut. Play that one again.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah. Frank Vogel after the game.
Composer.
Okay. Yeah. Was that just a matter of, you know, the game's not going your way, the crowd getting into it, or what would you attribute that to most?
All of the above.
Okay.
But we got to be better.
Let me play from the start because I didn't have the button pushed.
Yeah, we didn't keep our composure.
Okay. Yeah. Was that just a matter of, you know, the game's not going your way, the crowd getting into it, or what would you attribute that to most?
All of the above.
Okay.
But we got to be better.
Yeah. And
you can tell the frustration with him. And by the way, like, I'm going to just like memo to Frank Vogel. Stop listening to players on Coach's Challenge. Booker hooked him. He hooked him.
Of course.
Like of you got to stop listening to players. Tell, like, you've got a staff there. If they say challenge it, you challenge it. Don't lose a challenge on, you know, on a player because they're going to be wrong a lot of the times. They'd be wrong a lot.
Yeah.
So stop doing that.
Here's okay. And like, we're going to be talking about this game a lot today. So a lot of these thoughts we're going to kind of double up on or repeat or say multiple times because it all kind of ties in together. But I yesterday when we were doing the show, Tim Ring asked me if I thought yesterday was a must win game. And I said, no, it's not a must-win game. There are teams that have come back from down 0-2. Hell, sure. The Suns, just in the last couple of years, were up 2-0 against the Mavs and they lost the series. They were up 2-0 against the Bucks in the finals.
Happens. Suns are not, this series is not over.
Okay, but it was a must-compete. It wasn't a must-win, but it was a must-compete.
For your psyche?
For your ability to know that you could win 4 out of the next 5 games if you needed to. You know, like you can't get blown out again.
Yeah.
You can't not show up. You can't not compete for the second straight game and think that you're going to win 4 of the next 5. It's one thing to be down 2-0, but if they had competed last night and sent the T-Wolves a message that we're not screwing around, we're here to compete with you, I'd feel a whole lot better about this team's ability to come back and win this series, even down 0-2.
So if you're Philly, you feel better? I mean, you lost on a... Reggie Miller, 8 points in 20, well, how many seconds? The Philadelphia lost because the Knicks scored like 8 points in like 20 seconds.
And that's why you can say all you want till you're blue in the face, and you're not wrong in saying it, that the Suns aren't done because they're down 0-2. They feel like they are done. They feel like they are, because they're not competing in this series. They're not even close to competing.
They compete for a time. And they compete for
too brief of a time.
But when they get punched in the mouth, they don't come back from it.
You know, you're a fighter. Like, there's sometimes you punch a guy in the mouth and go, man. Oh, never mind, done.
I had that happen to me.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Like, to you, where you got where you punched the guy in the mouth.
You hit a guy as hard as you can, and he looks at you, and he laughs, and you're like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
But there are also times when you know you're not going to win in a fight, too. There are times when you give your effort so my fights are only three rounds, okay? So there's only, like, you give a really good effort for the first round, and then you realize, like, I'm not going to win.
Yeah.
So now I just want to get to the end. I'm not going to win.
Saw that happen last night.
Yeah.
I think, to me,
in a boxing analogy, that's what happens. You do realize that at some point in a fight, you realize I'm not going to win this one.
All right. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the lack of a will to fight was never more evident than it was in that fourth quarter when things really started to fall apart. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Hey, it's Luke. After months of speculation, we're finally about to get some clarity. Where are the Cardinals going with the fourth overall pick? Draft day is almost here, and we have you covered tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Doggy inbounds to Little. He'll throw one up at the buzzer. That one's short. And that's the final score. Minnesota 105, Phoenix 93. The Timberwolves hold serve at home. And now the home team improves to 12-0 in the NBA playoffs.
Doggy? Little. Oh, yeah, for the second straight game, Frank Vogel had the luxury of emptying his bench after the game because his team was so bad. He's like, why not?
By the way,
Isaiah Thomas.
True caller segments today.
Yes, oh, we're giving
you... True caller segments today. What's the times on those?
We've got 3:15 and 5:15.
Open phones, 3:15 and 5:15. Yes. We'll get the reaction from Suns fans.
Shake that pill bottle. There you go. That's for you. That's for you, Suns fans.
You're like, why does Gambo take so many pills?
I actually got one of our listeners who messaged the Burns and Gambo show page asking if there was going to be a call.
Oh, really?
Two caller segments today. Yeah, just got to get that out there.
Send that listener a message back and see if we can.
I teased. I was like, we may have a call.
I want to ask everybody's opinion on this. Everybody watched the game last night, right? Lauren, you watched the game? Okay. Rudy Gobert blocks Drew Eubanks, and McDaniels hits a three-pointer with 4 minutes and 36 seconds left to make the score 100-83.
Okay.
You got to empty the bench right there, don't you? You got a game on Friday. You got to empty the bench right there. I did have a problem with playing it another 2.5 minutes.
With everything that happened last night, that's the hill you're going
to
die on?
No, I'm not dying on this hill. There's a lot of hills to die on.
I'm like, that's the thing you took away from last night's game?
You played a cut of Nas Little and Josh Okogie playing.
Yeah, I did.
You played a cut.
The final call, yes.
So that immediately brought me to... I think he should have pulled the guys earlier. This game was well over with 4 minutes and 36 seconds left when McDaniels hit the three to make it a 17. You're not scoring 17 points while they score none in the next 4 minutes and 36 seconds.
So you got a problem with
I thought they should have pulled him a little bit earlier.
Yeah, no, I do too.
But it makes a big difference, but that's just a thought there.
Yeah, I mean, it was that game. I think that game honestly was over, and I don't know the exact moment, but I mentioned it in the last segment that basically over the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, Memphis went on a 33-13 run when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
And I think when that run was done, the Suns were cooked. The Suns went from up 3 to down 17 over the course of that run. And I think when that run was done, the Suns were cooked. And that's when they were disengaged. That's when they disconnected.
That run when Ant was on the bench?
Well, yeah, from the start of the fourth quarter.
When Anthony Edwards was on the bench watching the lead grow by 10.
National commentators were even making a thing out of it. Like, this is all without Anthony Edwards. Yeah, this is all with... This is Ole defense on Jaden McDaniels as he's waltzing down the lane, right? This is...
By the time he came back into the game at the 7:51 mark, they were up by 17. It got away from the Suns like that.
Like that.
Like that. It was gone.
Yep.
And the fourth quarter was... Like, could you have played any worse in that stretch? Nurk turns it over, leads to two free throws. Gobert taps out a ball. You don't get it. Second chance points. Alexander Walker hits a jumper. Gobert dunks it from Connolly when somehow, and this was my least favorite play, Nurk and Beal both stayed with Connolly. They let Gobert go. It was an easy play.
Yeah.
Book turns it over. Then Book has an offensive foul. The Suns challenge and lose. Cat scores on a reverse layup. Beal misses a shot. Conley grabs his own rebound, knocks out a three. After Book misses a shot, McDaniels goes around Nurk like he's not there for a basket.
Yeah, it was a mess.
And then the Suns turned it over again on a handoff. A handoff.
Yeah.
Nurk hands the ball to Booker, and they turn it over. McDaniels scores on a layup. 93-76. That lady singing.
That's when it was over. That's when
93-76.
I mean, if you're really being honest, it's 7:51 to go in the fourth quarter. That's when it's time to pull
totally.
Your starters.
Because
at that point, they had completely disengaged. They had disconnected. They had unplugged. They were done. They flipped it into autopilot. They were over. And the reason why Gambo, and I'm going to play these cuts again in order. Frank Vogel after the game on not keeping their composure.
Yeah, we didn't keep our composure.
Okay. Yeah. Was that just a matter of, you know, the game's not going your way, the crowd getting into it, or what would you attribute that to most?
All of the above.
Okay.
But we got to be better.
And if keeping their composure has been a problem all season?
Not really. We've been a pretty poised group, you know, throughout the course of the season. Came back in a lot of fourth quarters when we've been down. Stayed locked into the game, you know, but, you know, the emotions are higher in the playoffs. And the NBA playoffs will test your emotional stability. Right, and we got to make sure that as our first time going through this together as a group, again, when we face adversity, okay, we have to respond to it. And we didn't handle it well enough tonight. You know, we'll learn from it and be better going forward.
Did you see what John Hollinger tweeted during that game last night?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll read it here. Suns got two bad calls at the end of the third quarter and completely lost their bleep, Vogel included. And that's it. I mean,
Vogel included.
I got a huge problem with that, too. Huge problem with that. Frank Vogel is the guy all season long who has been using officiating as the excuse to explain why Kevin Durant turns the ball over or why Devin Booker turns the ball over. He's the one who holds these press conferences in which he talks about officiating not being good. And now he's the one telling us last night they can't use bad officiating as an excuse to check out of a basketball game. You've been leaning on that crutch all season long, man. You've been giving us that line all season long. Wow, the officiating. Why is Kevin Durant turning the ball over? Well, the officiating. Why did Devin Booker have a bad shooting night? Well, the officiating. Well, now, tonight, you're playing the we've got to rise above the bad officiating and not let it throw it off our game. Come on, man.
I agree.
I
agree with him on a couple of it. Why did the officials have to see that Bradley Beal's foot was out of bounds when he caught that pick? Why? Like, why Bradley Beal stepped out? Why are you looking at his feet? Like, honestly, why are you looking at his feet?
Why are they doing their jobs?
No, I mean, come on. I mean, that's the official's fault. You shouldn't have seen that.
Yeah.
You weren't meant to see that Bradley Beal had his foot out of bounds on that play. Come on.
Yeah, this, look, everybody saw it last night. Everybody who watched that game with half a brain in their head saw the exact same thing. That team didn't get calls. That team changed the focus of their attention on the referees, and that team completely lost their way last night because of it. They could not. I got video of Nurk yelling at the referees during one of the breaks. I got video of Devin Booker yelling at the referees one of the breaks. And last night, I don't know if it cost them the game last night. They might have lost anyway.
You lose your composure.
But any chance they had of competing in that game, they lost because of their obsession with the referees and the calls they weren't getting. And nobody was mentally strong enough to overcome that last night on the Suns. Not the coach, not the stars. Nobody could overcome that last night. And give me the pills, man. I'm getting pissed over here. Give them to me.
If I'm James Jones, I come down and I say, listen, not one complaint tomorrow on Friday's game. Not one. I don't want one person complaining to a referee. You're not changing their calls.
Yeah.
Not one. Not one. No complaints the whole game. If you complain, I'm going to pull you out. Tell Vogel, I got to pull you out. No complaining. Let's see how we can play if we go an entire game and we don't complain about officiating. Let's see what we could do. I mean, honestly, I would do that. I would try that.
Suns got two bad calls at the end of the third quarter and completely lost their bleep. Frank Vogel included. That's it.
He got a technical.
Conley
hit the free throw.
All you need to know about what happened last night can be summarized in that sentence right there. Two bad calls and they lost their minds and they stopped playing because of it.
Bad. The Suns are too good.
And you know what?
They're too good to be this.
We're going to get into that next.
They are too good.
They are too good. And the big three are too good for this.
They are.
And that's what we're going to talk about next, because the big three on the floor last night in the Suns-Timberwolves game, the big three all played for Minnesota, not Phoenix. What happened to our big three is next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Burns and Gambo talk Suns-Timberwolves now.
Did we get that on the air? Okay, good.
What?
Gazoom tight.
I sneezed? Yeah. Sorry, people sneeze.
I know they do.
I had my mic off, though. I had my mic off.
I think they might have had your mic on.
No, your mic was off. It was so loud. Burnsy's mic that was on picked up on it.
Okay.
God bless you.
Yes, thank you. God bless you.
That's a good thing.
We went from saying God bless you to just bless you. I still say God bless you.
What happened to Gazoom tight?
I don't ever use that.
Yeah? No? Something against Gazoom type?
No, I just never used it. Like,
yeah.
I never.
It's a good thing I don't sneeze on the air. Because I rattle off like 12 in a row.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those.
I'm usually a sun. Like when I hit the sun for the first time, I sneeze. I don't know why. Sun makes me sneeze.
Like
the heat, the sun.
Like the first time you're exposed to sunlight, you sneeze?
I don't know. The sun makes me sneeze.
That's.
Are you a vampire?
No, the sun makes me sneeze.
I was going to say, that's fascinating.
It does.
You might have a little bit of Transylvania in your blood somewhere. I'm one of those crazy sneezers. Like if I sneeze twice, I'm sneezing 12 times, and I cannot stop it.
Officially known as photic sneeze reflex, sun sneezing is a condition that triggers a sneeze when people are exposed to bright lights. Wow. It affects an estimated 18 to 35% of the population. I'm not alone. Okay. A lot of people out there probably sneeze with the sun. There's like 35% of us out there.
I don't get so defensive about it. I was just curious. I was just looking for an explanation.
I gave one to you.
Did I give you your pills back? You might need to take some. Yeah, calm down over there.
I'm angry and frustrated. The Suns are down 0-2.
Are you angry and frustrated?
I took my vacation June 25th after the NBA Finals were over.
Chances are you'll be available a lot sooner than that, Gambo.
I just waited until after the NBA Finals were over to take my vacation.
Chances are you'll be free.
I'm not counting them out yet.
You're not?
No. Whew. No, teams like they play terrible. The series is not over when it's down 2-0.
Okay.
It doesn't look good.
Okay.
It's unlikely they're going to win the series. It's unlikely they will win. But I'm not counting them out.
I'm not going to sit here and say there's a 100% chance the Suns are going to lose this series. But, man, compete, guys, compete. Kendrick Perkins on NBA Today this afternoon.
This is not on Frank Vogel. Okay, this is not on Frank Vogel. We're talking about a group of veteran guys, especially when you're talking about Bill, KD, and Devin Booker, who has been around the block, has playoff experience. They have to meet the match. Right now, we're looking at, teacup poodles walking in the cage with a bunch of Rottweilers.
Wow, that's a metaphor right
poodles
there.
Poodles versus Rottweilers.
Teacup poodles walking in with the Rottweilers.
I just want to prove this guy wrong because, my God, does he hate the Suns.
He
hates the Suns.
He does like talking smack about him. The big three last night combined to shoot 40%.
It was terrible.
They combined to score 52 points. We've now had two games of the big three in the postseason. So six opportunities for them to be special. Only one time has that happened so far, and that was KD's 31 in the first game, and I don't even know if special is the right word, but worthy of a performance where you can call yourself part of a big three. The other five times, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, it's been nothing. There's nothing special about the big three last night.
And it's everything. I mean, it's not just the fact that they're not scoring. KD was a minus 24. Beal was a minus 11. And Devin Booker was a minus 24. I'll tell you what this boils down to. Pressure is really bothering Phoenix. And I know, I tweeted this out last night. And I know you screenshot it and put it on our email. But this is what the problem is. Not having a point guard has a lot to do with it. But Minnesota has really good perimeter defenders. They're not just Rudy Gobert. Edwards, Conley, Alexander Walker, McDaniels, Naz, all athletic, long, and they've all been very impactful. The T-Wolves have several players that could guard Booker and Beal. Not just one. You can't find the mismatch because a lot of teams have one wing guy that could guard. You know, look, they're going to assume Kevin Durant's going to make some shots, and so be it. But they've got several players that could guard Booker and Beal. So you can't find that mismatch because they don't have to double. They don't have to double because they don't have anybody who can guard Booker, or they don't have anybody who can guard Beal. So they're always doubling, and then the Suns are able to move the ball and find the open shooter. That's not happening in this series because this team has quite a few guys that can guard.
Yeah, I hear you. And I do think that is a big factor in all this, because certainly perimeter defense has really stifled Devin Booker in this
series. The pressure's killing him.
Okay, there's that. Bradley Beal had an outstanding game against the same defense about a week and a half ago.
Different defense.
It was a week and a half ago. It wasn't that different of a defense. Same guys. How different was it? It was the same players.
It's regular season playoffs, but it was still
a must-win game for Minnesota. They were still trying to win that basketball game. It's not like they were starting a bunch of scrubinos out there.
That's fine. I'm never playoff basketball, regular season, so different.
So you don't think there's any responsibility at all on Devin Booker or Bradley Beal to rise above the
I totally do.
Okay, because that's...
I agree with you there.
Okay.
But I don't want to go back and look at the last regular season game. And say that's a reason.
But to me, good offense beats good defense in this league every day that ends in Y.
Should.
Devin Booker
should.
Has beaten defenses like this before and excelled against them.
Yep, it should.
Bradley Beal has beaten defenses like this and excelled against them. I mean, I think your explanation only covers some of it. I don't think it covers all of it. I don't think you can just say, well, that's it, tough matchup. They're going to... I mean, if that's the case, we all should have picked Minnesota to win this game in six and not the Suns.
You're not wrong that these guys have to rise above it. But you say, why is the big three struggling right now? The perimeter defense of Minnesota is killing them. Now, so I'm right. It is true. The perimeter defense of Minnesota, they've got long athletic guys that are physical, and it's really put their pressure is stymieing Phoenix. But when you say these guys got to rise above it, I don't disagree with you at all. They need to rise above it. If they don't rise above it, this series may not even go back to Minnesota.
Devin Booker is a top 10 player in this league. He should be able to figure out how to beat Jaden McDaniels.
He should.
Right?
If you want to be a top 10 player, you have to figure that out.
Bradley Beal is, okay, maybe he's not a top 10 player. He's a top 30 player in this league. He should be able to figure out how to beat Nikhil Alexander-Walker, right? They should be able to figure that out. And to me, I'll even go back to like last year. You look at, I sent you a screenshot of a tweet from a buddy of mine who pointed out like the last
four games
of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker in the playoffs.
It's incredible.
It's miserable.
You have it in front of you?
Because
it's
miserable.
That's your guy, right? That's your guy.
Yeah, Matt Peterson.
You love that guy.
Writes for NBA.com. He's a good guy.
You love that guy.
And at his core, he's a Suns fan, but he tweets very critically about the Suns. I wouldn't say that, but I like him a lot. Booker and Durant's last four playoff games. Game 5 against Denver.
Okay.
54 points. They were 18 of 43.
Oof.
They lost by 18.
Wow.
Game 6 against Denver. 35 points. They were 12 of 32. They lost by 25. Game 1 against Minnesota. 49 points. They were 16 of 33. They lost by 25. Game 2 against Minnesota. 38 points. 12 of 38. And they lost by 12. I'll grant you that Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jaden McDaniels are all everything defenders out there on the perimeter. But when you've got players of the offensive ilk of the Phoenix Suns, and in particular, when dating back to the Denver series and just watching how it's not working during the postseason, I think there is an expectation that skill like that should be able to find a way. You should be able to find a way if you're Devin Booker and you're one of the best players in this league.
If you want to be considered one of the great players in the game, you have to rise above that and play better. And you've seen it for two games now, and they've owned you. They've owned you. I mean, you know, what is the biggest factor in this? To me, what the biggest factor so far in this series has been that the perimeter defense of Minnesota is really, really good, and it has been able to shut down Phoenix.
All right, let's do our poll question right here real quick. Throw it out there, if you would, please, Lauren.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Social Poll.
Presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Vince, take it away. What you got for us?
I'm setting y'all up for next segment.
Yes, Gambo 5.
Wherever the first pick in the first round will be for the Cardinals, so whether it's 4, whether it's 8, wherever it is, the position group that they will select from will be wide receiver, offensive tackle, edge rusher.
Wherever it is that they're picking in the first round, the first round pick.
Well, it depends on where they're picking.
That's the concept.
It depends on where they're picking.
That's the concept. You got to take a guess.
I still think they're getting a wide receiver.
I'll say wide receiver.
I think they're getting a wide receiver.
Do you guys want to guess the percentage on wide receiver?
80.
90? 72. 80. For wide receiver.
91% think that regardless of where it is, it'll be a receiver.
Oh, that's perfect. So 9% say, well, how's it split up?
6% going OT, 3% edge.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Gambo 5 makes its much anticipated return to the airwaves.
After a 1 year hiatus.
After a little bit of a hiatus.
Just a 1 year hiatus.
It is back. We will explain the Gambo 5 and what it means when tomorrow's draft rolls around next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Burns and Gambo presents the Gambo 5.
Yes.
Five.
Bravo, Mitch, Lauren, for finding this and blowing the dust off of this vinyl and dropping the needle on it.
There we go.
We didn't do this last year.
No, I needed to understand the patterns of the new front office. I had to kind of get a year to kind of gauge how they work and what they do.
Wait, he's squinting as he says it.
Oh, I did. I had to kind of get a year to kind of gauge how, like, they work. What are you laughing at?
That's just the biggest shovel full of poop they cover.
What?
I had to gauge the rhythms.
I had to gauge it.
The circadian rhythms of the...
Zero chance you're getting that answer.
You're the best, Gambo. Don't ever chase. That's awesome.
But remember, this has had the track record here has been very good.
Yeah,
Saban Collins,
yep.
Isaiah Simmons.
Yep.
Correctly predicted that if they were going to trade up for a quarterback, it would be Josh Rosen.
Don't you dare say Kyler Murray. That doesn't count.
No, we didn't do Kyler. Okay. We got Zaven right, we got Isaiah right, and we got what was the other one? It was
You said Josh Rosen.
No, there was one more.
Oh, there's one more.
Before. Hassan Reddick. Correctly predicted Hassan Reddick.
And the last time you did it was the year they traded for Hollywood Brown, so they ended up not having a first
pick. Right, but
so
I gave you the players that they would have drafted had they kept the pick.
So let's explain to the folks how this works.
Yeah.
For nobody who's ever heard the Gambo 5, including the awesome open there with the Jackson 5 that Mitch and Lauren were able to find. Five names. You believe that one of these five will be a Cardinal by the end of the night on Thursday, okay? Explain to everybody, we're going to reveal two of them in this segment, the other three a little later on in the show. I think it'll be really obvious who the other three are after we reveal these first two, okay?
Yes.
Explain to everybody how this is going to work this year, what your parameters are.
It's too I don't want to say it's too easy, but probably if they stick at four and just stay at four, I'm going to give you five guys. Very likely that's
going to be one of them.
It's going to be one of those five guys. So I think it's when you pick it inside the top, it's a lot harder to do this when a team's picking 8, 9, 10, 11, right? It's hard. I've been in those situations to where they're picking 8th or 9th or 10th. Like, okay, it's a lot harder to do. Inside the top five, I think I'm giving you five guys, not one. So I think it's a lot easier for me to get that right inside the top five.
Especially this year, if they stick at four.
Yes.
I mean, it probably needs to be the Gambo 2, right? Or maybe just the Gambo 1 if they stick at four.
So what I did this year is I said, listen, I think there's a chance that they trade down and then trade back up again. So I'm going to give you five names, assuming that this pick is in the top 10.
Okay.
It could be four.
Okay.
And I picked other spots that it could be two, which was five, 7, 8, and 9. I looked at teams that I believe the Cardinals could target to trade back up with. It's the Chargers, the Titans, the Falcons, and the Bears as possibilities to trade back up inside the top 10. I did not take pick the Giants as one of those teams because I don't think they could do that with the Giants. But I think the Chargers, the Titans, the Falcons, and Bears are all possibilities to trade back up.
So five players.
Yes.
The Cardinals have a top 10 pick. They either stay at four or they move out, they move back in. They're picking somewhere, and then if they're picking outside of the top 10, this list is, I would assume, null and void.
Yeah, because these guys will all be gone.
Okay. There are three that are very obvious. We'll play their profiles a little later. But in honor of the poll question that Mitch put out there a second ago, the two guys who aren't the wide receivers, all right? The first one is
Notre Dame offensive tackle Joe Alt.
Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame.
Viewed as one of the top tackle prospects in a loaded draft class, the 6'8", 321-pound Alt can get it done in both the run and pass game. While Alt, whose father was a Pro Bowl tackle in his own right, started 33 games at left tackle across three seasons at Notre Dame, the lineman is confident in his ability on the right side. Alt presents more than enough talent to become a day one starter at the NFL level. NFL comparison, Denver Broncos offensive tackle Mike McGlinchey.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
Now, he's the best tackle in this draft. I would expect that he's the number one tackle on their board. There's a couple of other guys that are highly rated, but I believe that this is the best tackle out there. I believe this guy would be number one on the Cardinals board. And if the three wide receivers are gone, if you're picking at 8 or 9 and the three wide receivers are gone, I think you, having lost DJ Humphreys, having a needed tackle, I think that they would focus in this area.
Okay. The other non-wide receiver in the Gambo 5, other than Notre Dame offensive tackle Joe Alt, is?
All right. I'm going to stick with a theme here. Protecting the quarterback, attacking the quarterback. If they don't go wide receiver, I think that they look at the protection of the quarterback or the ability to attack the quarterback. I'm going to say Dallas Turner, edge rusher, Alabama.
Dallas Turner, edge, Alabama.
Turner is a pure athlete. He has the frame, the reach, the burst, and the raw power to get wherever he needs to go. If you have the ball, Dallas Turner will get to you. He was the star of the NFL Combine with a 40 time of 4.46 and a vertical jump of 40 and a half inches. Not bad for 6'4" and 250 pounds. He was also the star of Alabama's mighty defense the past three seasons. Last year, he had 10 sacks, 14 and a half tackles for loss, and 2 forced fumbles, making him a first-team All-American and very likely a top 10 pick on draft night. NFL Comp, edge rusher Brian Burns.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
So I'm focusing on a tackle and an edge rusher. I'm not going with any other position for their first pick if they're inside the top 10. Corners, I don't see a cornerback in that area. I don't think they're going tight end. They're not going running back. I don't think they're going safety. I think that the position is tackle or edge rusher. So I have Joe Alt and Dallas Turner as my guys in my top 5.
Corner would be the only other one that you, I think, would think about in a moment like that. But those seem to be, we talked about this last week or maybe even earlier this week. Those seem to be guys more or less that you take from like 10 to 20, kind of in that range.
Right.
I do think, first of all, two things. And this is just my opinion here. You might disagree with this. If they walk away from this year's draft with one of these two players, I'm going to be a little disappointed because I think the need for a wide receiver is profound. I think they absolutely need one. I think also if they walk away with one of these two guys, it means they took the chance of moving back into, like, what did you say, 8 or 9?
Yeah.
And
theirs at 9.
And that all the three wide receivers were gone at 8 or 9. And that they kind of, their fallback position was, well, we still get the best edge rusher in the draft, or we still get the best tackle in the draft.
Right.
That's sound theory. I really, really, really want a wide receiver. So to me, it's like you move out of 4, you move back up to 8. You hope one of the wide receivers are there, and if not, you're content with one of these guys as sort of your plan B.
The best tackle or the best edge rusher, you get that guy.
I'd be disappointed in that. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about it. I'd be disappointed if it's not a wide receiver with their first pick in the draft. I think they need one that badly.
Listen, I will say this. There's no way that the Cardinals would trade outside of the top 10 without without trying to move back into the top 10. So that's not going to happen. The Cardinals aren't going to make a trade, fall to 12, 15, 18, 20, and be content with that. Now, you got to be prepared that you stay there. But there's no way that they're not going to at least try to get back into the top 10.
We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss our show. The Burns and Gambo Show podcast brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold, guaranteed realty. Did yesterday, more than any one game this season, emphasize how badly the Suns need a point guard on this roster? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.